Thank you, Father. This morning, as I was asking the Lord what to talk about, I sensed just to go over a whole bunch of scriptures. So I'm going to be doing a lot of reading of scripture today, just to remind ourselves of who we are and where we stand. Okay? You know that you are in Christ. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. You are now a child of the living God, a beyond human being, superhuman being. What would you want to be? And so I want to go back and just look at some of the scriptures that talk about how God sees us. And really the title he gave me was Covenant Children, Sons and Daughters of the Living God. And what that means, the benefits of it, once you get to operate in, how you get to operate. Maybe talk about some of that. But mainly looking at the scriptures that talk about the reality of our new life. Romans chapter 8. First scripture that came up was verse 15. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Abba Father. You can break it down a little bit. If you have not received again the spirit of fear, okay, spirit of, actually bondage it says, spirit of bondage again, which tells you that once upon a time you were under the spirit of bondage. The spirit of bondage, the word bondage, is better translated slavery. You were a slave to sin, you were a slave to the old nature, you were a slave to the curse, but you have been set free from that. And what Paul goes on says, you were a slave to fear, the spirit of fear, which the Bible also says is the fear of death. That's the bondage that was everyone was under, was the fear of death. If you knew you could never die or be injured, what would you do? Right? You probably wouldn't be limited to, I'm not sure I want to go down here because that's a bit dangerous. That sea slope, it's a bit tough going down there. I might fall over. Or jump out of an airplane with no parachute. Yeah, there's a lot of things that the fear of death stops us doing. Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Although the Lord does say his angel will pick you up, but you've got to know that it's him telling you to do it. There are a lot of stories, in fact, during the Second World War. An airplane gets shot out of the sky, they jump out of the airplane and they survive. The Lord would catch them, put them on the ground. Who knows what it was, but how much do we really believe what God says? That's where he says, you're not subject again to the spirit of slavery to fear. In other words, once upon a time you were. Now we get to live free from fear. Amen. We don't let fear control us, we don't let fear drive what we do, make our decisions based on fear. The whole insurance industry is based on fear.
Yeah, that's right.
Fear something bad is going to happen. Just leave that there. It's between you and God what you do with the insurance industry. So let him tell you what you should be doing. But there's, our whole society is based on fear as well. And all fear comes back to the fear of death. Fear of sickness, fear is all to do with the curse operating in people's lives. And so removing that fear and knowing that that fear has no part of you is part of renewing the way we think, to think the way God thinks. God doesn't do anything out of fear. Fear has no part of him. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. That's who you now are. So anytime fear comes up, use it as a, like the little red light on the dashboard. Something's not right. What am I afraid of? Take it to the Father. Father, thank you, you've delivered me. And choose to operate the way the Holy Spirit leads you to operate. So he says, you have not received again the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. Now that word received, the second one, you have received, it's in the aorist tense in the Greek, which means it happened at a point in time. Done. Finished. Complete. So you have received the spirit of, and the word adoption is actually made up from two Greek words that mean to be placed as a child. Okay, now they translate it as adoption, but really it's made a child. Being placed in them. In the Greek word that translates place also has make and be in there. So it's not just a document that says you're now a child of God, we believe that he passed in the courts of heaven. No, he literally transformed you into a child of him. renewed our DNA. It says you're no longer, you are a new creation. No longer what you were, God has recreated. So you have divine DNA now. 2 Peter 1:3-4, you have received the divine nature. That's what we've been made. The power of what Jesus' body and blood did is phenomenal. We'll see some scriptures that talk about that. Okay, so you've been set free. John chapter 8, in this verse, it's a statement Jesus made. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Right? And again, it's in the aorist tense. If the Son shall make you, aorist, at any point in time when the Son makes you free, you are free. The word indeed is also be translated really.
Really.
Really, really, really free. Not subject to any slavery or bondage again. You're really, really free. Okay? So if Jesus has made you free, Aris, have you received that freedom? Amen. Born again, delivered from the curse, then you are free. Really, really free. That's what he wants you to live in. Knowing that, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, he also himself likewise took part in the same, in other words, he took on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So by giving up his life, he destroyed the power of the devil, the power of death and the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage.
Mm-hmm.
That's that we just read in that. Yep. Romans 8:15. Okay. You have been delivered. You won't receive again the spirit of bondage to death. Mm-hmm. You have the spirit of sonship.
Amen.
Which is a totally different mindset. Totally different way of living. Totally different way of seeing things. Because you now are a child of the living God.
Okay.
And as scriptures go on to say, not just a child, but an included one of the family. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are in Jesus. He is in us. He said that. A bit hard sometimes for our brains to comprehend that. But he said that. He said, the Father, you and the Father, I and the Father are one, that you also may be one with us. And that's what we are. He has made us part of himself. Why? Because his body, he came and took on flesh and blood to destroy the power of death.
Mm-hmm.
So you're no longer subject to death.
Nope.
So there's no point living in the fear of it. Because it doesn't apply to us anymore. Yeah. The natural mind goes, how does that work? That's what revelation of the Spirit comes. That's what we believe.
Amen.
What the Word says in here, the revelation we get in our heart that says, no, you're no longer subject to death, no longer subject to the curse or the fear of it. You are free to live the way God designed you to live before the foundation of the world. Okay, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, let's have a look at verse 4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The word subject to the curse that was operating. Okay? Subject to fulfilling the law, or the requirement to fulfill the law. Okay? He was placed as a human being. And he came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, and King James says, the adoption of sons. But again, it's that same thing that Romans 8 says, that you may receive sonship as a reality, not as something that's just a piece of paper saying you're now a child of the living God, but as a transformation into the nature he designed you to be. And because you are sons, or children, take it, it applies to me and anyone. There is no male or female in God, we're all one, alright? So when it says sons, it's really talking about all of us. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit came in, and he resides in us, as we reside in him. And he's the one that enables us to say, Abba, Father. Now I look, the word Abba only appears three times in King James in the New Testament. This is one of them. And when I looked up in Strong's, it's alpha, beta, alpha, bet. No, bet's the Hebrew. Aleph, bet is Hebrew. Alpha, bravo. Bravo is the Greek, okay? So you go A, B, B, A. In the Hebrew, it's just A, B. Now they say Abba. I think they put an A-H on the end of it. Hey, a breath. But A, B translates to Abba in the Greek. And Aleph, bet, Aleph is the first letter. It represents God, His strength, His power, His everything.
Mm-hmm.
Bet is the family, which is who we are. This is Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Aleph, bet. The Bible starts, excuse me, with the word Bereshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bet, resh, mm-hmm. which means sons.
Wow.
Okay, so God's all about family.
Yeah.
And He made us His family.
Mm-hmm.
We were separated because of Adam's disobedience, but now God has included us back into the family, and we say Abba Father because He is the be-all and end-all, and we are His family. We are part of Him. Abba, Daddy, is what we use in our English word. Daddy God.
Mm-hmm.
Abba Father.
Or
Abba. A-B. Aleph Bet. So there you go, the strength of God in the family. That's what He calls Himself. Me and my family. Wherever I go, my family's there. Wherever my family is, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get to operate in. The fullness of the Godhead resides in you. And we're so limited in our understanding to think, I just got to get by in this life until I go to heaven. No. We get to live today what He has destined us to live for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Way beyond what this natural mind thinks. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, carrying on reading. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant or a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Amen.
Now there's a big difference between sons and slaves, or servants. Right? Go into a house that has a bunch of servants in there, what do? Well, they serve the master.
Mm-hmm.
They clean the house, they make meals, they do all that. What is, they don't come and just sit down on the couch and shoot the breeze with dad, do they? What does the son do? He comes in and just lounges on the couch and goes to the fridge and gets whatever he wants. Operates very different to a servant. Hey dad, I'm borrowing a car, see you later. Off he goes. Servant wouldn't even dream of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be made sons of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to everything the Father has is yours in a minute. Mm-hmm. But here it says, wherefore you are no more a servant, which is how the people of Israel, this is really talking to people of Israel, because they were slaves or servants of God, is how, in fact, the whole of mankind consider themselves to be servants of God. That's why they set up idols to worship in the hope that the God would help them and provide for them. They saw themselves as servants. What God is saying here is, no, you're not a servant. You're part of me. You came from me, and I treat you as a son, to whom I have given everything. And it says, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. So if you're an heir with Jesus, incumbent upon us to find out what that heirship involves.
Yep.
What are your privileges as an heir? Because if you have an inheritance, don't you think it'd be nice to have use of it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Mm-hmm. One of my ancestors died and had $100 million in the bank. It was for me. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural world. Here you have your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns it all.
Amen.
He says, everything I have is yours.
Mm-hmm.
But even more important than that, He is love.
Mm-hmm.
He is the fullness of every good thing. That's what He's released to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're entitled to. Get rid of the fear of death. Fear, period. All right, back to Romans chapter 8. Let's read verse 15. Let's now read verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Can I guess along with what we just read there in Hebrews, okay, gee, the Spirit is given to us to reveal to us who we are. So it says here, the Spirit self beareth, and the Greek, that word beareth is in the present tense. In other words, the Holy Spirit continually is telling you, you are God's child. You are my son and my daughter. You are the one in whom I delight. You are the one who brings me pleasure. You are the one I love to hang out with. That's what Dad was doing. Granddads as well. They love hanging out with their grandkids, watching them play, having fun. Okay? He beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Yep.
Let's have a look at a few more scriptures that amplify that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him, talking about in Jesus, when you are joined here with Him, are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God. Mm-hmm. All the promises, no weapon formed against you, no sickness come on your dwelling. Angels shall protect you. Every good thing is yours. God doesn't withhold anything from those that walk uprightly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for all the promises of God are in Him, are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And that word, the earnest of the Spirit, is talking about the deposit God gave. Earnest is the deposit. Like when you put the earnest money down on a house, you're going to buy the house, you commit yourself to it, you put your earnest money down. Well, that's what Paul's saying here, is the Holy Spirit was given to us as the seal of our sonship. You are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is there to prove that. And He is placed in our hearts inside us to do that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, and in whom is in Jesus. You trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your deliverance from the curse, the good news of the joy that is now yours. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is going back to the Holy Spirit being placed in us, witnessing to us that we are children of God. Okay, so we are sealed, which means confirmed, wrapped up in, stamped permanently. It's not something that's going to disappear. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. So not only is He given as an earnest of God's blessing on you, He's also given as the down payment or the guarantee of your inheritance. Everything that Jesus, that God has promised, is yours. And you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to get it. That's the amazing thing, is God has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's ours as of right. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Lots of the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That's what the Holy Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit given to you, is giving you the power of God. The same power that He operates in, now operates through you. Through me, through us. It takes some meditating on. It takes some change the way we think to, okay, God, I agree with that. Even if it doesn't look like it in the natural, we know that we have been given the spirit of power, not of fear, but of power. The fullness of God's power operating on our behalf, fulfilling the dominion that you've been given. Power and of love, the spirit of love. That's why nothing rattles you anymore. That's the faith statement. Nothing rattles us. Love bumps out. Our bucket gets kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the fullness of love. Mm-hmm. The spirit in us. Romans says, for God has, forget the exact quote, but it's love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. That's what he has done. So you see, the spirit of love has been given to us, and he has shed that love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What we have to do is let that love percolate up from our heart into our brain, mm-hmm. so that we don't react to people or to circumstances or to things that look like they're not following the way God wants them to. Mm-hmm. And if they're not following the way God wants them to, we get to change that by what we say. When we agree with what God says, circumstances have to line up with the truth. Facts are subject to change. Truth is not.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is you have been delivered from the curse, and you get to live in the fullness of the power mm-hmm. and of the love mm-hmm. and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
What's a sound mind? Thinking the way God thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Father, for the new covenant. I will put my way of thinking in mind and right in your heart. Right? Get rid of that old turkey way of thinking and give us thinking like eagles. Above only, not beneath. Ruling and reigning with Jesus, enforcing the victory that he won on the cross. So that's the spirit that you have, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, back to Romans chapter 8. So the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us, he is the earnest of your inheritance. He is the guarantee that you are a son and a daughter. He is the one that bears witness that you are a child. Always reminding you, you are my righteousness. You stand in the anointing and the power of God. Verse 17, Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. One of the most powerful statements in Scripture. You are a joint heir because of what Jesus went through. And it goes on. The verse finishes up. Paul points out the fact that if we partake in his sufferings, or if we suffer with him, then we will also be glorified together. Now, Colossians says we are glorified with him. Has he already been glorified?
Mm-hmm.
When he rose from the dead,
yes.
He was given a name that is above every name. He's already been glorified. So you have been glorified with him, even though it doesn't look like it in the natural world, in the way we've been taught to think. So start seeing yourself as a glorified son and daughter of the living God, operating the same way Jesus does. So it says, see, we are joint heirs with him. It's interesting to know what Jesus inherited. Because you get to partake of that same inheritance. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that give us a glimpse into what Jesus inherited. First thing he inherited was eternal life.
Thank you.
You will never die.
Amen.
Now you might put off this carcass, this shell, but you will never die. Okay? The Holy Spirit quickens your mortal body. That's what verse 11 of Romans 8 says. That's why you're youth and younger. You can be around as long as you want to be. All right, let's have a look at a few scriptures on this. How about Philippians chapter 2? Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10. I'll read the whole verse so you can write it down as you take notes. Philippians 2, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more. No, that's verse chapter 1, sorry. Philippians 2, is wrong. 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, excuse me, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. That is Jesus' inheritance. Because he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. That's verse 8. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. He went through death, and now his inheritance is he is highly exalted above, and given a name that is above every name, that at that name, or by that name, or in that name, every knee should bow. And did we just read that you are in Christ and joined here with him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he inherited a name that is above every name, what have we got?
Mm-hmm.
And in that name, every knee shall bow,
mm-hmm.
whether in heaven, in earth, or under the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Every name.
Right.
Does that include cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Does that include sickness?
Mm-hmm.
Does staying from beneath him with a curse. Every name bows the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Every demonic power, everything created in this world, everything God has created is subject to that name. And we are in that name.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I need you just meditate on that for a bit. I really think our limited understanding has limited us in what we can expect God to do through us, what we expect to happen in this natural world. But here it says, that the name of Jesus, which is your name, you have it by inheritance, being joined here, every knee should bow. And said, the King James puts off things. Now it says, it's in italics, but that's the implication. Every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And that's applying to every created thing.
Yeah.
That's why the scripture says the whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
For us to show up and deliver them from us.
Mm-hmm.
See, people who say, I'm in Christ, everything has to bow to me. No, it's got nothing to do with pride. It's got nothing to do with your capabilities.
That's right.
It's about how you can manifest the love to all of creation.
Right.
How you can manifest God's goodness to all of creation.
Right.
To other people, to the things around us, to society, to all the stuff that goes on in the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us bringing love.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hearing London love. God's name. Anyway, he said he was, the Lord had taken him to some location out in space. And there were some beings there, but he was like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? And when he finally engaged with them, they said to him, tell us the story. They wanted to know the story of Jesus, of God's life. That's what they were interested in. They weren't interested in who he was. They just wanted to know, tell me about Jesus. Tell me what he did for us. Tell me how he delivered all of creation from the bondage of the curse. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what you get responsibility for in the rest of eternity. Mm-hmm. Sharing the good news of the love of God with his creation. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, we're in Philippians chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
God hath highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow,
mm-hmm.
in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. That's who our God is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews 1 verse 4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Backs up what we just read there in Philippians. He's been given a name above every name, a more excellent name. He got it by inheritance. Because he died and rose again, he inherited that name. We are joint heirs with him in that inheritance. And that took me to an interesting passage in Daniel. Daniel, in one of his visions, or one of the things the Lord showed him, he saw us in Jesus. Okay, and this is what is recorded here in Daniel chapter 7. This is talking of where Daniel saw the beasts that came out, and a lot of eschatology talks about the beasts and the ten heads and all that kind of stuff. Well, we're just going to read part of it. It's Daniel 7 verse 25. It's talking about previous verses, the ten horns to the ten kings, and then one king comes and overthrows three of them. And it says, and then it's talking about that king that will subdue three, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Shall wear them out, try and get them to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall think to change times and laws. He wants to do, but he can't,
right?
Because we know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Shall think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time, which eschatology says 3.5 years. But this is the verse I'm interested in. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. The judgment shall sit. Who's the judge of all things? Jesus, right? He said the Father has committed all judgment under the Son.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking about Jesus, and who's in Jesus?
Yeah.
But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. His dominion, the end is out by the translators. To consume and destroy it unto the end. In other words, that's what the enemy is trying to do, destroy everything.
Yeah.
But judgment sits to destroy that, to take it away, to stop it. And then verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. See what that says? Back in chapter 2, it talked about the stone that was cut with our hands that came down and destroyed the idol and grew, and of that increase there was no end. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 9, scripture that says, for unto us a child is born, of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's what I was talking about. It says here, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom, that is the kingdom you have been translated into, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, made a child, made a joint heir in that kingdom. The judgment shall sit and destroy the dominion and power of the curse. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole of heaven, it's talking about the kingdom of the Son, right? Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's called the sons and daughters, the joint heirs. So that kingdom has been given to us. Now. Not when you die and get to heaven. We get that now. We are responsible for the judgment that goes on now, judging people righteous, just like Jesus did. Judging the curse, refusing it, rejecting it, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Never going to quit. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Every name is named, every kingdom, every dominion shall serve and obey God and us in Jesus, right? That's the dominion authority we have. An amazing scripture. That's a prophecy. Verse 28 says, hit the two is the end of the matter. It's done. It's over. Jesus fixed it all. Got it all done. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians, yes. Chapter 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, or the spirit of bondage to fear, or the spirit of the enemy, or anything that relates to that. Whatever you receive. You have received the Spirit, which is of God, Holy Spirit, the nature of God himself, the power of God. And he is given that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to give us revelation about what it is we have. What God has given to us, the privileges, the blessings, the life, life and life abundantly, the dominion, the power, the victory, the joy, the love, everything that God has given. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. And that's designed to encourage us, designed to let us know that, no, it's not just hanging on here when Jesus comes again. No, you are already in him, living the life he designed you to live. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, go to John chapter 16. The Lord threw this one on me again. Came up mine immediately as soon as we started talking about we may know the things that are given to us free, that we get to operate in them. Why does God want you to know them? Because in John chapter 16, Jesus tells you. Verse 23. John 16, verse 23, he says, and in that day, which is talking about now, you shall beg me nothing. And I'm going to have to plead and cry and say, oh God, please, please can you do this? Please. I need 15 people to pray so we can move God's arm. No. Big. That's what the church is taught. That's Jesus saying here, you don't need to do that. What do you need to do? Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall rightfully demand, demand what is rightfully yours, the Father, demand of the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
Amen.
There's no condition on this. If you behave right, if you know everything correctly, if you cross your eyes and not your tears, if you spend a lot of time with him, then the Father will give it to you. No, he says if you rightfully demand it, he will give it. So you have to know what rightfully is, right?
Yeah.
What are you rightfully entitled to? Divine health, provision, protection, joy, love. You are rightfully entitled to everything Jesus inherited, the name that is above every name. You're rightfully entitled to that. So when you ask the Father what you're rightfully entitled to, he says he will give it to you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Verse 24. Hitherto you have asked, rightly demanded nothing in my name. Ask, rightly demand, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants you so full of joy, so excited. You can't sit in the seat. You should have to run around the room by about now. Thank you, Father. That's what he's done for us. Given us every good thing, drop down to verse 13 to 15. Okay, we read 23-24. I meant to read 13 to 15 first. 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak for himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Christ, what we just read there in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we have as our inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you.
Amen.
His job is to reveal to us everything Jesus has, everything Jesus is, everything Jesus wants us to do, everything we get to be a part of. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. What does the Father have? Well, the whole of creation is contained in the Father. So he owns it all.
That's right.
So all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you.
That's right.
And if Jesus has all things that the Father has, as a covenant child, what do you have?
All things the Father has.
All things that the Father has.
Exactly.
That's what we've got. And then Jesus goes on, he says that about the Holy Spirit's role, and then he goes on and says, now that you know what you've got, verse 23 and 24, don't beg me for it. Just tell the Father what you need. Rightly demand, Father. Because of what Jesus did, I live in divine health.
Amen.
No weapon from giving son prospers.
Right.
All my children are taught of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Great is their shalom.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. All the good things God's promised. Psalm 91.
That's
right. Psalm 103. Yes. We can go back over all those wonderful promises.
Hallelujah.
So let's go to Romans chapter 8 instead. Romans 8, this starts verse 32. Romans 8, verse 32 says this: he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything that the Father has is freely given to us. It ties into 2 Peter 1, 3. He's already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Okay, a couple more scriptures. Three more maybe. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Well, no, it's... keep your finger there, go to Isaiah 64 first. Isaiah 64 verse 4. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what you have prepared for him that waiteth on you.
Amen.
That word waiteth in the Hebrew is the word kavah, which means to entwine with you, to be united with you, to be linked with you, to be made your child. Okay, so I say, eye hasn't seen from the beginning of the world, men haven't seen or perceived or even understood, eye hasn't seen what you have prepared for us.
Amen.
When we entwine with you, now I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, we just read what was written, right?
Yes.
As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things which God hath prepared for them that love him, them that are entwined with him, them that are united with him. That's us. But God, verse 10, God has revealed them to us. How? By the Spirit.
Thank you.
Spiritually discerned. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He knows what God wants. That's why we live led by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 25, final scripture. Matthew 25, verse 34. And this is a passage that I've had sitting before the Lord for a long time. I get to get the full answer on it. Okay. This is the passage where Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. Okay, and then he turns to the sheep, and this is what he says, verse 24. That's those of you who have accepted Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what he turns and says. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, which is where he put the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. What does the scripture say? God had already done everything before he even created the world.
Mm-hmm.
Covenant was made. He knew what was going to happen. He already planned it. It was all done. Now we get to be partakers of that.
Mm-hmm.
That covenant. Seeing what God has done and bringing it to pass in this natural world. That was Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. 34, yes. Verse 34. He has given us, we have inherited the kingdom. Jesus inherited the kingdom when he rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We are joint heirs with him. That's why we are in the kingdom of his son.
Mm-hmm.
A kingdom is a place of dominion, right?
Right.
Where a king has dominion.
Yep.
Well, as part of the king, you have dominion.
Amen.
Don't get the curse on right in your life anymore. Don't let the spirit of fear come back.
Mm-hmm.
We get to live on the blessing of God's provision. It's a blessing and inheritance that Jesus has. He's living it. We need to live it too. Hope that encouraged you, you children of the Most High God. Go out this week and enjoy it. Now, led by the Holy Spirit, manifesting the goodness of the Father, demanding what's rightfully due, seeing his anointing in every area. We are blessed. Father, we thank you for what Jesus did for us. Thank you for life and life abundantly. We don't have to wait till we pass from this life. We get it right now. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have received that inheritance and you have given it to us. In your love, you have shared with us everything that you have. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reveal to us every moment of the day greater understanding of how to operate in the kingdom of God. To bring to pass your plans and your purposes throughout the universe. And we give you thanks for the privilege that you have made of bringing us into you, that we get to be your children, because of the covenant that you cut on our behalf. So we celebrate, we rejoice, and we give thanks, and we give you praise.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.